Hallelujah. There's still power in the blood today. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Amen. That he shed his precious blood for me. Amen. If you're able today, we're going to get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. If you'd stand in honor of God's word today. I want to share something the Lord has placed on my heart this week. Before I begin reading, I think it would do us well today and honor God today if we could one more time all over this house give a great big BBA welcome to all of our visitors. We're so thankful and delighted to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. It's wonderful to have guests. It's wonderful to see friends. Amen. It's wonderful to worship God together. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited to be in his house today. We could be a lot of places. There's lots of Walmarts. You could be in your pajamas right now in Walmart in your house shoes like everybody else. Oh, help us. But we're not. We're in the house of the Lord today. We're in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. What's the world coming to today? Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Amen. The second chapter, I'm going to read very quickly, verse 1 through 7, as I try to relay to you what God has placed upon my heart today. Revelation 2, verse 1, shout yes when you get there. Amen. Revelation 2 and 1, amen, we find that the Lord has spoken to the churches, amen, through the writings of John, amen. And here we take our text in Revelation 2 and 1. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The Lord said, I know thy works, and I know thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Thou hast found them to be liars. Thou hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake hast thou labored and hast not fainted. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Everybody say first love. Nevertheless, the Lord said unto this church, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This letter is not to the world, Brother Dave. This letter is to the church. This letter is not to those who are lost and who don't know who Jesus is. This letter is to the church in Ephesus. They had lost their first love. Can I tell this body today, it is possible. It is sadly possible to be in the church and not be focused on what's important. I'm going to say that again because I feel like there's somebody in this place needs to hear it today. It is possible to be in the church and not be focused on what really matters. What really matters to God? What really matters to the church? What really matters to this revival that we're experiencing in these last days? It is possible to lose and to miss and to lose your first love. It is possible to not be focused on what's important. It is possible to be in the church and miss the mission. I want to preach to this body today, seduced by the secondary. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Come on, if you'll help me for just a few moments, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to do my best to preach an abbreviated message. But the faster you get behind me, the faster we get this thing over with. I want to know right now, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you set your Bibles down in your seats? Come on, let's lift him up. Give him a moment of praise. Let's refocus our praise. Let's refocus our worship. Come on, let's remember the one we serve today. Let's get back to our first love today. Give him glory and give him honor. He's the reason. He's the one that makes your life worth living today. And he deserves all the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Seduced by the secondary. The Lord bless you. You may be seated for a few moments. Hopefully, amen, you'll get behind me and we can preach for just a moment today. Amen. You may be seated. The church must be leery of self-focus and self-will. When our attention begins to shift from God's will to our own personal desires and our own personal comfort and our own personal agendas, there is a risk of being seduced. Everybody say seduced. When we think of seduced, we think of a woman seducing a man or a man seducing a woman. But can I tell you, when the church begins to take its eyes off of what really matters, the church can be seduced by a spirit that will lead it astray. The church can be seduced by a spirit that'll take you down a road you don't want to go down. The church can be seduced by something that'll lead you away from God instead of into the arms of a loving, caring, providing God who wants everything that's good for you in your life. Amen. The church must be leery of self-focus and self-will. Amen. The Greek word for seduction in the Word of God often means to lead astray. Amen. It's a gradual process. It's a subtle process, amen, that diverts us from the truth and diverts us from our spiritual walk with God. How many know our walk with God is all that matters? Come on, how many know living for Jesus is all that matters? You can lose everything in this world and you can rebuild it again. But my friend, let me tell you something. When you lift up your eyes in hell, there ain't going to be another chance. There ain't going to be another opportunity. I'm telling you, what matters is living for God today. What matters is living for God today. And I hope and I pray today that something I say, something I preach, something I relay today would cause you to think that it is possible for you to be seduced by secondary things. Things that really don't matter. Things that aren't worthy of your time. Things that are not worthy of your energy. Amen. It's a gradual process. It's a subtle process that diverts us from the truth of God's word. It diverts us from our walk with God. We see it in the believers at the church of Ephesus. We see them struggling beneath the weight of a godless and an immoral culture. We see that they had maintained the letter of the law, but they had lost the spirit of the law of God. Come on, they were living by what the law said. Come on, they had a problem with the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. They hated sin. They hated all of these things, but they had lost what really mattered. And what really mattered was them getting alone with God. What really mattered was them being close to God. What really matters was the reason why they even started out on this journey in the first place. The word seduction is to lead astray. It's a subtle process. Amen. It's one that happens gradually. We don't even realize that it's happening until we find ourselves someplace that we do not want to be. The believers of Ephesus were struggling beneath the weight of an immoral culture. Amen. They had maintained the letter of the law of God, but they had lost the spirit of the law of God. Can I tell you that Jesus actually commended them? Can I tell you that Jesus actually applauded them? Can I tell you that Jesus actually told them that he was honored and he was proud of the work that they were doing? He wasn't mad at them because they weren't doing the work of the Lord, Sister Melissa. He was mad at them because they had lost their focus on what really mattered. They had got caught up in the duty. And can I tell this church today that duty can never surpass devotion? You better keep your eyes up on Jesus today. You better concentrate on what really matters today. And don't get so caught up in the work of the Lord that you lose your devotion to God. And it is possible today to be distracted and to be seduced by secondary things. We see it in the church of Ephesus. We see that the Lord commended them. We see that the Lord applauded them for their service. For their service and love. But can I tell you today, if we're not really careful, if we don't really watch what we're doing, if we don't really pay attention to our spiritual disciplines, if we don't really stay faithful to God and coming to church and finding a time to pray and finding a time to dig into God's word, if we're not really careful, come on, we will no longer be propelled into service by love for God, but we'll be propelled into service by some selfish desire. Can I tell you, it is possible to go to hell while living in the church. Can I tell you, hell's going to be full of people that went to church. Oh man, it's getting hot in here. I might need to take my jacket off. Can I tell you, you can sit in a church pew and die and go to hell if you lose your first love today. Come on, you can be seduced by secondary things that are vying for your attention, vying for your devotion, vying for your resources, vying for everything about you that wants to take it away from you giving God the glory. Can I tell you, don't be seduced by secondary things today. The Lord commended this church. The Lord applauded this church. They rejected false teaching. How many know we stand on our doctrines today? Come on, we believe there's one God. We believe he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Come on, we believe in baptism in Jesus' name. We believe in the doctrine of separation. We believe in the doctrine of the new birth today. But can I tell you today, we need more than that. We got to have a first love in our life today. We got to hold on to why we're doing this in the first place. Clap your hands and give God some praise if you believe you need to hold on to your first love today. Come on. They had rejected false teaching. They hated sin. But the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee. You have left your first love. You have forgotten why you started doing this in the first place. I'm amazed how people can come into the church and they are so excited, so on fire for God, living for God. It's the greatest thing ever happened to them in their life. Next thing you know, they see vessels of wood and hay and stubble. They see things that ain't right. They see broken people. Can I tell you that's what the church is today? Come on, I'm not justifying not living holy. I'm not justifying not living separated. I'm telling you, the church is full of all kinds of vessels, and you can't get distracted by stuff that really don't matter. You got to keep your eyes up on Jesus. You got to return to your first love today and not be seduced by secondary things. The believers at Ephesus had fallen into this subtle trap. They were working hard for God. Can I tell you, I'm a pastor and I battle this. Can I tell you, sometimes I get caught up in the duty and I walk through the doors of this church and I'm just doing it because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not just preaching to you today, I'm preaching to myself. Is that all right? I'm not just telling you today to return to your first love. I got to keep him first in my life also. I come to tell you, don't ever let your duty surpass your devotion. You got to stay close to God. Duty can never take the place of devotion. Their actions were there in the church of Ephesus, but their hearts were not. Their hearts were not. And if we're not careful, we'll no longer be propelled into what we're doing by love. It'll be because of some selfish or worldly motivation. And can I tell you, we may think somewhere in our finite minds, we may think, amen, that it doesn't matter to God about our devotion. We may think it doesn't matter to God what we're distracted by as long as we are outwardly obeying. Come on, somebody. As long as we're going to church, as long as we're doing what we're supposed to do. But can I tell you, it matters to God what you're distracted by. Can I tell you, he's a jealous God and he won't give his glory to another. Can I tell you, it matters whether he's second on your totem pole or whether he's the head, because he said, I'm the head and I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. He's the beginning and the end. He's the will in the middle of the will. Everything revolves around our God today. He's the great God of glory. And we might think for a moment sometimes, well, God knows that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God might know you're doing what you're supposed to do, but where's your devotion at? Where's your heart at? What are you longing for? What are you seeking for? What matters most to you in your life today? He is concerned about the church of today. Can I tell you, God was so concerned about the church at Ephesus, he dictated this letter through the writings of John to warn them about losing, Brother Teddy, their first love. Can I tell you, God is equally concerned about this church today, about you losing your first love. Can I tell you, you can be distracted just like Ephesus was. You can get caught up in the negativity just like Ephesus was. You can lose your soul and lift your eyes in a devil's hell because you lost your first love today. Can I tell somebody in this place today, amen, that God cared so much, he made certain that this letter was preserved for over 2,000 years so we could read it right here in this service today. Do not lose your first love. Do not lose your first love. Hallelujah. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap today. Can I tell this body, you need to keep your first love first. Come on, say it one more time. You need to keep your first love first. Can I tell this body today, you need to keep devotion over duty. Can I tell this body today, you need to keep spiritual disciplines over worldly desires. Come on, because if you're not careful today, you can become like the church of Ephesus and you can become seduced by the secondary. You can become seduced by the secondary. Listen to me today. We don't just need church revival. We need a personal revival. Come on, that's the problem. Look, I believe in revival. Come on, we just got out of a revival. We're about to go into another revival. But let me tell you what I believe more in a church revival. I believe in a personal revival. I believe it's time you got to get serious with God for yourself. I believe it's time you got to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. I believe it's time you can't live off what mama said, what daddy said, what grandma said. You got to have your first love for yourself. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord with me all over this house today. Hallelujah. We got to keep our first love first. We need a personal revival. We need a revival that restores, church. We need a revival that redirects, church. We need a revival that resurrects, church. We need a revival of convictions. We need a revival of persuasions. We need a revival of habits. We got to get back to where what God brought us from today. We got to get back to where we're thankful for what God brought us from today. We need a revival that causes us to hunger and thirst after God again. We need that day back when loving Jesus meant more than anything to us in our lives. We need that day back. We need that day back where loving Him means more to us than anything in this world, more than a friend, more than a job, more than a car, more than a home, more than the way we look, more than anything in our life. We got to get back to that day where living for Jesus means more to anything in, to us than anything in our lives today. We need that day back where there was nothing that we wouldn't give Him. Come on, how many remember that day? How many remember that day? There was nothing you wouldn't give Him. There was nothing you wouldn't trust Him with. There's nothing you wouldn't lay down for Him. There's nothing you wouldn't give up for Him. We need that day back where He's our first love. He's not going to be your last love. He's not going to be your second love. He wants to be your first love today. We need a revival that resurrects us. We need that day back where nothing is more important than pleasing God. Nothing is more important than trusting God. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. Come on, church, I didn't come here to play games today. Come on, I didn't come here to play games today. I came here to get real about who I am. I came to get real about what I need. I came to get real about how I can get close to God. I understand that I'm in danger of hellfire. I can lose my way with God, and I don't want to lose my way with God. I want to stay close to God. I want Him to be my first love. I don't want to play games with God today. I want to be real about who I am. I'm broken. I need Him. I am nothing without Him. I am nothing without Him today. I got to refuse to be distracted and seduced by secondary things. Come on, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I got to stay in love with Him myself. Sister Angie, I got to keep Him first in my life myself. Come on, I got to put Him before everything else in my life myself. I'm not just talking to you today. I'm talking to myself today. I got to keep Him at the forefront of my mind. I got to keep Him at the forefront of my priorities. I got to keep Him at the top of my totem pole today. I need Jesus in my life. I got to stay in love with Him. I got to stay committed to Him. I got to stay indebted to Him. I got to realize He paid a price I could never pay. I'm forever indebted to the God who changed my life today. I, without Him, am nothing today. Oh, if we could just get back to our first love today, church. If we could just get back to the reason why we do this today, church. If we could just get back to the day where we were broken before Him and He changed our lives and He lifted our burdens and He changed our course and He redirected our paths. If we could just get back to that day today. The day, come on, the day that He transformed us, the day that He renewed us. You know what we need? We need some nostalgia. We need some nostalgia. We need to remember where God brought us from. We need to remember how good God has been to us. We need to remember the valleys He was there we went through. We need to remember the mountaintops He was there for us. Come on, we need to remember today. We need to remember the day that heaven met earth. We need to remember the day that divinity, come on, separate us from a world that we live in. We need to remember the day He filled us with His Spirit. Come on, and baptized us into the body of Christ. We need to get back to our first love. Me and Jesus could face anything together, and I was all right with that. Everybody else in the world could have left me, but as long as I had Jesus, I knew I was going to be all right. We got to get back to that day. Today, church, we need a personal revival today. We need to get back to the place where me and Jesus can face anything in the world together. Come on. Come on. When we are living in a time where people don't know whether they are male or female, we need a personal revival. Come on, somebody, when we're living in a day when you can't even get through to the suicide hotlines, we need a personal revival. When we're living in a day where it takes 6 to 9 months to get into a counselor, we need a personal revival today. We got to get back to our first love. We got to get back to our first love. We need a personal revival. We need a reset button. That's what we need. Come on, that sound system back there. Anytime them guys get that all jacked up, Brother Vito showed me there's a button on there. I just walk right back there. I push that button. Takes me right back to the original. We need a reset button. That's what we need in our lives today. We need a reset button that'll take us back to the day that God set us free. Because we're distracted. We lose our first love. We need a reset button that takes us back to the day we ran to this altar. We didn't walk. Man, we was hungry. We was running. We couldn't get out of that seat fast enough. We couldn't get to the altar soon enough. We needed God to touch us, and he met us right here, and he touched us, and he restored us, and he renewed us, and he resurrected us. We need a personal revival today. We need to get back to that day we were washed in his blood. Come on, we need to get back to that day we were filled with the Spirit. Ooh, everything was golden. Man, we were so hungry for God. He was the love of our life. We got some folks in here about to get married. Man, I look at the way Brother Jacob looks at Sister Maddie. My Lord. That girl's been able to do things with that boy I've never seen no other woman on earth be able to do. I look at the way Brother Kyler and Sister Olivia, my Lord. I look the way he looks at that woman. I see her be able to, sis, I see you be able to get things done with that boy I never seen nobody be able to do. Can I tell you, we got to get back to that way feeling about Jesus. We got to get back to loving Jesus that much. We got to get back to our first love today. He got to be the love of our life. He's got to be the love of our life. Get back to that day. We repented of our sins. We felt conviction gripping our heart. Man, I remember the day God got a hold of me. I couldn't sit there no longer. If I had to, I had to get out of that seat. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't wait no longer. I had to get to the front of that church. The Lord was dealing with me. We got to get back to that conviction. We got to get back to that love that we had for God on that day. Church, we need a reset. We need a return. We need a reboot. Our first love is sitting there saying, "What are you doing? I'm right here in front of you, waiting for you to return to me." He's right there, just waiting for us to return to him and say, "You're the love of my life. You mean everything to me. There's nothing more important in this whole world than you are to me." He's sitting there saying, "Come on, you're getting seduced by the secondary. I applaud you for your work. I applaud you for your duty. I applaud you for the resisting of sin. I applaud you for the refusing of false doctrines. But you got to keep me first." That'll get some folks quiet. You got to keep me first. We need a reset, church. We need a return. We need a reboot. I know the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody right now. Look, I'm so close to where you're living right now, you're shaking on the inside. Come on, I know beyond a shadow of the doubt, I have been commissioned by God to tell you what I'm telling you. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm right where you're living at today. Somebody is hearing what I'm saying today. Somebody's shaking on the inside today. Somebody's saying, "I've been distracted by some stuff, and I got to get back to putting God first in my life. I got to get back to putting God first in my life." It's amazing. It's amazing, but it's true. The word return is used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament scripture only. I think God gave an allowance for our humanity. I think God understood, Sister Diana, we was going to mess up sometimes. I think God knew that we're going to get off track sometimes. So over 1,000 times, Mother Peg, in Old Testament scripture only, he said 1,000 times, return. Return unto me. Return unto your first love. Come on, get your priorities straight. Quit focusing on things that don't matter. And put me first in your life today. Hallelujah. We got to keep God first in our life today, church. We cannot be seduced by secondary things. Because there's a lot of things that's vying for your attention. We are living in the information age. You can spend hours scrolling, wasting time on stuff that don't even matter, to the point you're falling asleep with your phone in your hand. You don't get everything you've done for the last 3 hours accomplished nothing. We are being seduced by things that do not matter in this day and age. It's time we got to get back to spiritual disciplines. We got to get back to loving God. We got to get back to putting Him first in our life. I think God understood that we as human beings would get easily distracted by things that don't matter. So He reminds us, return, reboot, redirect. Get out of your seat and get to that altar. Seek me, search for me, long for me as the deer pants for the water brook. I gotta be everything to you. God wants to be everything to you in your life today. Ooh, I think God understood. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. I'm about to close, at least for the first time. I'm going to do my best for this to be my close. Church, God loved the church at Ephesus enough to dictate a letter through the Apostle John to warn them. They were working hard, but they were losing their love for God. God loved us enough to preserve that letter for over 2,000 years. And we're reading it in this church today. And He's telling us, you got to keep me first in your life. I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. I won't give my glory to another. I want to be first in your life. After a service one day, a lady walks up to the legendary American evangelist Billy Sunday. She walks up to him after a service and she looks at him and she says, Brother Sunday, why do you keep on holding these revivals when they don't last? Billy Sunday looked graciously at that woman. And he said, ma'am, why do you keep on taking a bath when you know you're going to get dirty again? You'll never outgrow the need for revival in your life. You'll never outgrow. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be spiritual enough. You'll never be strong enough that you won't need a personal revival in your life. Why do you take a bath when you know you're just going to get dirty again? You know them armpits going to start stinking again. You know you don't change them socks, those feet going to start reeking again. But you take a bath, don't you? Because you know you got to get cleaned up. God chastens those whom He loves. God corrects those whom He loves. God steers back onto the highway of holiness those that He loves. Time and time again, we get seduced by secondary things that really don't matter. We lose what matters most in our walk with God. Why did we start doing this? Why did we get out of that seat that day when conviction gripped our heart? Because we love Him. Because we're in awe of Him. because we adore and extol him, because he's the greatest thing since Fruity Pebbles. And Fruity Pebbles are pretty good. But God is the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. Don't you ever forget it. There's no amount of money that can erase it. There's no amount of success that can delete it. There's no amount of friendships that can dilute it. You need God first in your life today. But we get distracted. We get distracted. We get seduced. And the Bible says that the enemy, that old serpent, Satan, he's subtle. He's subtle. And he sneaks in there. And he puts things in our path. He puts people in our path. He puts careers in our path. He puts all of these things in our path to seduce us, to distract us, to get us away from loving God more than anything in our life. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Somebody needs a return to their first love. Somebody needs to say, I forgot how important he was to me. I forgot how much he meant to me. I forgot how good he's been to me. I need him so much. I can't live without him. I'm nothing without him today. Don't get seduced by secondary things. Oh, Lord, help us. God, help us to return to our first love today. God, help us to keep you first today. Stay focused, church. Staying focused on him is our ultimate goal. If we keep our eyes on the prize, come on, there's an eternal reward that's waiting on us if we keep our eyes on Jesus. These altars are open as we sing this closing song. Don't be seduced by the secondary. God wants you to keep him first in your life. Would you come? These altars are open.